Pastor Brokay and Irene are down in Quinimo this morning at, if you remember, Coleman's. Yes, they were here several months ago, and he's now a pastor at Quinimo. And but they're down there visiting them, and he's speaking in, about missions down there. And so just pray as they travel back here, probably today sometime. I'll be filling in this morning, and we have been just started a new series in the evening service on Romans, and so we started it last Sunday, actually. So we looked at verses, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and we'll continue that theme this morning. And so Romans chapter 1, verse 13, was where we'll pick up this morning. So if you want to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 13, and we've been going through the past 3.5 years through the New Testament, and we've gone through Colossians and Philippians, Revelation, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Philemon, and James. And now we are finding ourselves in the book of Romans. And so as we go verse by verse through each book, we learn a little more about each book. And the benefit of looking through each verse by verse is a lot of us believe that it's important, that the Word of God is important, but if we just highlight on different parts, we don't get to see the whole emphasis of the original writer. And so, as we're looking through the book of Romans, we're beginning to see, just in the first lesson, the emphasis in the book of Romans. It's on the righteousness of God. And last week, the theme was a holy people. And this morning, verses 13 through 17 continues that theme, and it's God's righteousness in us. And so the book of Romans is very thick on the gospel, or you might say deep. And as we go through the book of Romans, it talks about the whole process of salvation. And as you're thinking about this, I'd like to kind of review what we looked at last week in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul was sent. He was sent by God himself as an apostle, one sent. Verse 2, he was predicted. Jesus was predicted in the Old Testament scriptures by the prophets. In verse 3, it was Jesus fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies. Verse 4 declares that Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully God. He's same in essence. He's the Son of God. He has the power over life and death. Then verse 5, it's for God's glory, by whom we received grace and apostleship, for the obedience of the faith among all nations for his name. The obedience part here is the changed life and purpose for us. Then verse 6, we're told how we're chosen. We're chosen by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, we're a holy people. A holy people that God is fulfilling his original plan in creation, having a perfect creation. He sent his Son to redeem his creation, and now he has placed his Spirit in us. He's given us his Word, and we've been chosen by Jesus, and we can have fellowship with the Father. That's how we become God's holy people here on earth, by sanctification. Then verse 8 is a testimony. Paul says here that he thanks God for the faith of those who were in the city of Rome and throughout the whole world. Then verse 9 was Paul's fervent prayer for them. He says, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 10 is Paul's prayer request. He's writing from Corinth to Rome, and in this verse 10, he says that he prays. He makes his request known that as he wants to visit them in Rome, but also he wants to go from Rome and continue on his missionary journey to Spain. that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God as I come unto you. Then verse 11, he wants us to be mature, for I long to see that you may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Idea of is the gift of grace, of knowing God, experiencing his blessing. And then verse 12, we finished last Sunday night, is an encouragement. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. They both want to be encouraged. So Paul, seeing them, he could encourage them, and they could encourage him. One of the things I mentioned last week is many of the books we've gone through that have been written by Paul, he was confronting sin and problems in churches. But the book of Romans is mainly just doctrine. Emphasis on the verses, first 12 chapters is doctrine, and the end is practical living. And it's all about salvation. And so this book doesn't have a lot of problems he's confronting. It's more about teaching, and then because of the teaching, how we can live. But verse 13 is going to start off here, is that I would not have you ignorant. I want you to know, brethren, that the oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. Paul was prevented until now, that I might have some fruit among you also. And so Paul's desire, again repeated here in verse 13, is he wanted to come visit them. He had never been to Rome, but he's writing from Corinth, and he wants to come visit them. Because of his involvement in his missionary journeys, he was not allowed to go to Rome. But now he sees an opportunity that after he returns to Jerusalem, he wants to go and visit Rome. Let's open our word of prayer. Father, thank you for all you love and care for us. As we look at this passage this morning, help us to understand it and apply it to our lives and understand the gift of your righteousness. Thank you for the book of Romans, how we understand that we are your special people here on earth, and we've been given your gift of righteousness. So when God the Father looks down upon us, he doesn't see us in our sin. Our sins have been paid for, and we have Jesus Christ's righteousness in our place. Thank you for this righteousness, and may we desire to turn from sin and yield to your Spirit so that he can produce the fruit of the Spirit in and through us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're looking at verse 13 here, again, this theme this morning is God's righteousness in us. If you look back in the book of Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, it mentions how that God wanted to give his people a new heart and a new spirit. And that was realized in the New Testament. We are given a new life, 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 5. And with that new life is this righteousness. By faith, we understand we are not good in our sin of ourselves. We are sinners. And we need God's righteousness to enter God's kingdom one day. And Paul is going to emphasize the righteousness and the word justification in this book many times. And he's emphasizing that it's not us trying to earn salvation, but it's clearly by God's own accomplishment that we have eternal life. It's something just done by faith. A lot of people get confused about the Old Testament when it talks about how their relationship with God was conditional. If they obey God, this will happen. And they don't understand the sacrificial system. But the sacrificial system, as we mentioned this morning, as, what was the individual's name?
Ken Ham.
He brought this same subject up, is that the Old Testament sacrifice system in Hebrews, God was never satisfied with that offering. But it was a demonstration of their faith. It's always been a faith from the very beginning of the Old Testament to the New Testament. Their demonstration of their faith was credited for righteousness. And they are obedient and their faith demonstrated they were God's people. As you look at this passage here, though, Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant." Paul changes the subject from the first 12 verses here, and he says, "I want you to know this, Roman believers." And he says, "Brethren," speaking of believers, "that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was prevented." Remember when he wanted to go to northern present-day Turkey, and he was prevented by the Lord. And then the Lord led him across the Mediterranean Sea to southern Europe. The same way he was prevented from going to Rome. And it says here, "that I might have some fruit among you also." So as Paul on his three missionary journeys, as he traveled through northern Israel, present-day Turkey, Galatia, and then southern Europe, he was able to see God's fruit being manifested in many people. As he began to share the gospel, they recognized their sin and their need of salvation. They received God's forgiveness, and as the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us as believers, he begins to produce his fruit in us. And so God, through Paul here, was able to manifest fruit as he traveled on his missionary journeys among many Gentiles and Jews. "And so I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles." And so he mentions this word Gentiles here because we know that in Rome there were Jews, just by this the way he phrases it here. He was writing to both Jews and Gentiles in Rome, in the Church of Rome. And ultimately this fruit is changed lives, godly lives, surrendered lives, and souls saved. And that's what he's wanting here to see as he travels to Rome. He wants to see these same things. That's Paul's desire, that people would come to Christ, lives would be changed, and they would manifest God's righteousness in and through their lives as they surrender to him. Then verse 14, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." The idea of the debtor, he's obligated by God. Remember, as he traveled on the road to Damascus, God called him in a vision and blinded him and said that you are going to be a messenger of me, Jesus, and you're going to share the gospel to the Gentiles, and you will suffer many things. And so Paul was commanded by God himself in a vision. He was obligated to go both to the Greeks. Now, the word Greeks here is people who were citizens, like Paul was, were more wealthy, intelligent, wealthy individuals. But the barbarians here, those are those who had not received the education, the culture of the Romans. They were seen more as outcasts, uneducated, non-citizens, and poor. And then he says, both wise, the intelligent, the Greeks, and the unwise, the foolish, the barbarians, the outcasts. And so Paul says here, it's my desire to go and to share the gospel, not with just the rich, but also the poor. He was sent by God himself. And then he says in verse 15, "so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel, the good news, to you that are at Rome also." So we had shared the gospel in present-day Turkey, southern Europe, and now he wants to travel to Italy to continue to share the message that he was commanded by God himself, this good news. And it says here, "I am ready." He's eager. And many of you know Pastor Brocay. He is very evangelistic. He loves to go and share the gospel. And he travels even sometimes to conventions in Iowa, Nebraska, and all over to share the gospel. Like Paul here, he is eager, excited to share the good news. And Paul here wants to go and share the gospel even at Rome. And there's a significant reason here why Rome, if you think about Paul and his different journeys, when he went to Galatia, he was stoned. In Philippi, he was imprisoned. Other places, in Ephesus, he created a riot with his message. Just as God had commanded him to go and share the gospel and experience suffering for the gospel's sake, he did these things. But now he's traveling to the center of the Roman capital. And he doesn't fear anything. He's already experienced many sufferings. And as he travels to the center, the heart of the Roman Empire, he says he's excited. He's not afraid, but he's going to be bold to share the gospel. And he says here in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And so you don't understand, unless you understand the context of this passage, why verses 16 and 17 are very important in this passage. Because Paul is emphasizing, you know what, he doesn't care what the Romans are going to do to him. All he cares about is, as he travels there, as he accomplishes God's purpose, God called him on the road to Damascus to be bold in sharing the gospel, and he doesn't care what they do to him. He's already been stoned. He's already been thrown in prison and beaten. He doesn't care what the Romans will do to him. He's not afraid. He says here, "For I am not ashamed. I'm not scared. I'm not chicken. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Because as he traveled even to Corinth, he went in there and all those philosophers and the educated elite, they called him a fool and they ridiculed him. You find that in the beginning of 1 Corinthians. He's not afraid to share the message. Is the power of God, is all powerful. The word here, power, is actually comes from the word dynamite in translation. Only God can redeem mankind. And that the idea of salvation is to rescue or deliver. God is delivering us. We can't do it in and of ourselves. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Again, he's writing to Jews and Gentiles living in Rome. And it says here, to everyone that believes. As you think about this subject, I'd like to read a little ahead in the book of Romans, because it gives us a good context of what Paul is going to talk about here. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through 20, Paul is explaining here why we need God's righteousness. Why do we need God's righteousness? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." You see, the condition, our human condition, was continued sin. And he says here in verse 4, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that the whole world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be declared righteous or justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Old Testament law, in all of its 800 commands, was given not to say, if you follow these, you'll be righteous, but it was shown, as it says here, to condemn us. The law was given to show that we are guilty. We are not righteous. We are fools, and we are sinful. And it says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Again, he continues to mention the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse 24 is the last, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we begin to see here, as we open up the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we've seen last Sunday night was how God has chosen a holy people, redeeming his fallen creation. And then this morning is that God's righteousness, he wants to manifest his righteousness in us. It's not us trying harder to obey the law, but it's recognizing we're sinners condemned before a holy God. And only by faith in Jesus will we receive this righteousness. And so Paul says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Only God enables our redemption. He rescues us. He delivers us to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he emphasizes the Jew first here because as he traveled into a city, God's special people in the Old Testament were the Jews. And they already had a part of the Bible. And so as he traveled into a city, a new city, he would first go to those who had a part of God's word. And he would explain the rest of the story. And that's what he's speaking about here. He would go to the Jew first who had been God's special people, but were lost. And he would explain the message about Jesus. And then he would go to the Gentiles who had not received God's word before and share with them the message of Jesus. And then here in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God. 30 times in this book, Paul mentions the righteousness of God. And over in this book, he's talking about salvation and wanting everyone he talks to understand the righteousness of God. Because of justification, just as though I've never sinned, only by God am I seen in his presence as perfect. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And this idea of faith to faith is faith alone. It's not faith in works, but it's faith alone. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, you understand you're a sinner. You understand that you can do nothing to gain God's favor. We are condemned in his sight. As Romans chapter 3 says, we are guilty, we are condemned. And we needed Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty, and to give us his righteousness, God's righteousness. So that one day when we stand before him, he doesn't see our years of sin. That's been paid for by Jesus shedding his blood. His blood pays the penalty for our sin, and then he gives us his righteousness. It's kind of like a book I remember reading when I was in high school. And this individual couldn't believe when he was in a church, and the pastor said that God loves us just as much as he loves his son. It was too much for him to understand. But later on, he began to understand is that God doesn't love us because of what we do, but he loves us because who we know. It's God's love for us is based not on what we do, the acts we perform on this earth, but it's he loves us because of Jesus Christ. He loves us just as much as he loves his son. And then God gives us his righteousness and salvation. And that's what Paul is going to emphasize over and over in the book of Romans, is that we don't have to earn God's favor. Because many of you know a young believer who comes to Christ, and they think now that they're a believer in Jesus Christ, now they're going to live that righteous life. And as they go through the week, they begin to say that they're a failure. That everything they do, they continue to sin, just like they were before Christ. And they come back the next Sunday and they come forward and they ask for forgiveness and they try harder the next week. And that's the reality of the Christian life, is they're trying in their own flesh. But yet if we try in our own flesh, we will always fail. It's only as we recognize that my one desire as I wake up each day is to sin. I have a sinful nature, even as a believer in Jesus Christ, is to desire to sin. And the only way to conquer that desire, that sinful nature, is daily by reading God's word. I need to read God's word, renew my mind. Then I need to pray and ask God to make it a reality in my life. And when temptation comes, as I read and memorize God's word, he brings that to my remembrance. And it causes me to examine and say, you know what? Instead of being anger and bitter, I'm going to yield to the Spirit. And he can demonstrate that love, the joy, the peace in my life. And it only takes realize that we need to read God's word. We need to ask God to make it a reality in our life and yield to the Spirit on a daily basis. And as the days, weeks, months, and years go by, he begins to make that a reality as the world sees us. The unbelievers begin to see us. They see less and less of our sin and more of our Savior in and through us. His fruit of righteousness in and through us. It's only as we recognize we can't do it on our own and we need him to do it through us. And so as you think about these five verses about the God's righteousness in us, I just emphasize on two points here, is that Paul, it says here, Paul was excited. He was ready to share the gospel. And many of you have already been going out on Saturdays, right, Dave? Dan. And you've been going out and sharing the gospel. And we as well, we should desire to share the gospel with our friends, our family, and coworkers who are not believers. And same way, the second point here is the righteousness of God. We should not think of ourselves as more righteous than we are. Everyone in this room has a sinful nature. And we need to recognize, I could fall into temptation this week. We should recognize our need of God's word, our need of prayer, fellowshipping with our Father, and our need of surrendering to the Spirit. And we are not righteous, but God is righteous. And when we sin, we need to ask God for forgiveness and desire to seek him. As we seek him, we desire less the things of this world, the sin. And so we need to be eager and ready to share the gospel. But also, we need to recognize how we're prone to sin. We are not righteous, but God is righteous. And we need his word. We need his Spirit. We need him in prayer to conquer this sin in our lives. That's my challenge for you this week, both to be eager to share and also to recognize that you're not righteous and you need God in your lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the book of Romans, how it reminds us that we are your holy people. You've chosen us to salvation, and you've given us your Spirit, and one day we'll be with you in heaven. But also you've given us your righteousness. We also have a sinful nature, but you've given us your righteousness, my justification. Help us to surrender to you each day and each week. Desire to read your word, to seek you in prayer, and to surrender to your Spirit, so then you can change who we are in this life. Thank you for all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.